This is Jay Sekulow, a troubling development for Pastor Saeed, and an update on Miriam Ibrahim.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Silence in the face of evil in itself is evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act."
In Sudan, the protests are small, but international outrage is growing. Mariam Yahya Ibrahim, who's been sentenced to be hanged, is in jail along with her first child, Martin. Her father is a Muslim, but she was brought up by her Christian mother. Sudan, led by President Bashir, is a conservative country whose laws are based in Sharia. If your father is a Muslim, you are considered a Muslim. That's why the courts ruled that her marriage to Daniel, a Christian, was illegal.
I was considered innocent and the marriage revoked. The revoking of this marriage means that my son is no longer my son, and the one coming won't be my son either. So this innocence means nothing, and I will appeal for myself and I will appeal for my wife.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We have a lot to report. We're going to be joined in the second segment of the broadcast by Nagme Abedini, because we got a troubling development in Pastor Saeed Abedini's case. Many of you know that for the past 2 months, Pastor Saeed's been in an Iranian hospital. We learned today that Pastor Saeed was removed from the hospital aggressively, violently, taken back to Rajashahr prison. The transfer came without any advance notice, and family members in Iran confirmed that he was severely beaten at the hospital and then forcibly returned to the prison. The reason for the transfer is not clear, and according to family members, one of the guards who was involved in the transfer mentioned the Iranian nuclear talks as a possible motive. Jordan, we've had conversations this morning with Nagme. What is the latest that we have? We'll be joined with her shortly.
Obviously, this comes as a shock to the family in Iran, to Nagme Abedini, and we'll talk to her about that. And it's a time, a renewed call where we need people to speak up. You know, Dad, we've had people call and they've asked us, what's the latest on Saeed? And, you know, we've been able to report he was going on to his third month of being in a hospital instead of being in that prison. And so, we were trying not to bring a lot of media attention to it, answering questions when we had to, because he was in a much better situation. And now, when he gets into a situation, again, where he was rearrested basically in a violent situation, taken back to prison, we sound the alarm bells once again.
Then we have the situation with Miriam Ibrahim and the State Department today not acknowledging that the 20-month-old son is an American citizen. And Jordan, that's something we wanted to focus on, that the son of Miriam Ibrahim, she's been sentenced to death in Sudan. She's a medical doctor, 27-year-old, mother of an 18-month-old, and is now pregnant. And the 20-month-old, I should say, is actually in jail with her, and the 20-month-old is an American citizen.
Yeah, and would be eligible because the father came to America in 1998, became a citizen in 2005. That meets the five-year requirements. Now we're in 2014. He was in the United States until he was married in 2011, 2012, went back to Sudan, and was trying to bring his family to the United States. So they would meet the citizenship requirements, but the State Department, again, refusing to even acknowledge whether the father himself is an American citizen, even though the media knows that, even though we know he went through the full citizenship process.
Yeah, it's troubling. Let me play for you very briefly here. CNS News reporter asked the State Department, number 14.
Is Miriam Ibrahim's husband, Daniel Wani, a U.S. citizen? And is that 20-month-old boy in prison by virtue of being his son also a U.S. citizen?
Well, I don't have any more details on this than what the statement the White House put out. Typically, we don't confirm those type of details, but I'm happy to check and see
if there's
more.
You don't know whether that little boy in prison is a U.S. citizen?
I don't have any more details.
I mean, this is unbelievable. Well, we know that he's a U.S. citizen, and the rest of the world knows he's a U.S. citizen, but not the State Department. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We come back from the break. We'll be joined by Nagme Abedini on Pastor Saeed's situation, but we're also raising the alarm for Miriam Ibrahim and her 20-month-old American son in prison. Go to BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org. Join with, ready for this, 108,000 other people in one day. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Demand her release and the son's release. 877-989-2255 or BeHeardProject.com.
It's a disturbing story that's gaining international attention. A judge in Sudan has sentenced Maryam Ebrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. Born to a Christian mother and a Muslim father who abandoned her, Maryam was raised Christian. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. The Sudanese judge gave her 3 days to recant her faith, to reject her Christian beliefs. She refused. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Time is of the essence. The ACLJ is mobilizing its international resources for Miriam. Add your name to the letter that we'll deliver to the government of Sudan. Be heard for Miriam. Online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, we got word this morning, early this morning, that after spending 2 months in an Iranian hospital, Pastor Saeed Abedini was physically removed from the hospital, taken back to the Raja Shah prison, where he was beaten in front of his family, by the way. The reason for the transfer is unclear, and according to family members, one of the guards who was involved in the transfer mentioned the Iranian nuclear talks as a possible motive. We can't verify that at this point, but this is a very troubling development. This comes on the heels yesterday of the campaign we've launched on the behalf of Maryam Ebrahim, who, for those of you that don't know, is a 27-year-old Christian woman. She's been accused of the same thing that basically Saeed's been accused of and that Youssef Nardakhani was accused of. This is leaving Islam, becoming a Christian. She's got a 20-month-old baby that's in the jail with her, who is an American citizen, as Saeed Abedini is. And the Sudanese have put a death sentence on her once she delivers the baby that she's now carrying, the second child. If you want to aid in her case, you can go to BeHeardProject.com, BeHeardProject.com, or 1-877-989-2255. We'll talk more about that in the next segment of the broadcast. But again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. If you want to talk to Nagme, our phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. Nagme is on the phone with us. Nagme, this was obviously troubling news. Tell us what you know. What's the latest here?
Well, I know that he is not doing very well. He was beaten severely and at some point collapsed. And we're really worried about his health. I was up all last night trying to figure out what's going on in Iran time, and it's been devastating to our family.
Jordan, you have been following, obviously, and working on the situation very aggressively, I'll say, on a number of fronts. What do you think we have in play here?
Well, I think you've got a situation where, and as Nagme was told from family members who witnessed this, that this may be involved even with the nuclear discussions. I mean, that a single individual, and imagine that, folks who, you know, everybody's out there is listening. Imagine being an individual who is important, who talks between nations about a nuclear program. It's pretty unprecedented that would be the case. So that was picked up on by those who were watching this unfold at the hospital. We were going on into the third month, and we know those talks are ongoing as we speak, and there's not been much progress. But again, the fact that that was even mentioned and picked up, that you as an individual may be worth something to a government, worth something to a regime, to where they are trying to keep you within their eyesight. And so I think it's a situation, again, it's very troubling because he was in a much more positive situation being in a hospital, obviously much better. This is a situation where we don't sound these alarm bells regularly, and because we take it very seriously, and people have wondered why we have been more public. It's because he's been in that hospital, and that would tend to trend that things were getting better, but here we have a situation that's gotten much worse.
So, Nagma, we know that the history, I mean, Saeed was in the hospital for almost getting close to 3 months there, but when he was first put in the hospital, he was put in shackles. It was a very difficult situation. It hasn't been a picnic in the hospital by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a better situation. What is your sense of what's at play here? I mean, you know, you're talking to family. I mean, you know, I know this is a devastating news. What do you sense is at play?
You know, it's complicated. It's from day one when he was taken, it was a shock because they knew about his history in the year 2000 when he converted. They knew about the house churches. He worked with a government-approved building. So he hadn't broken any crime when he was taken, and it was always a shock initially why he was even taken. But just this talk of, different politics involved and the motives of the Iranian government behind it, it's complicated. I don't know, but it's really when I heard this news again in midnight, my time was, I felt like it was even worse than the initial call when I received that he was taken 2 years ago, and we're coming up on his two-year anniversary, and it just took me back to then, and this time it was worse. The first time they took him. This time he was severely beaten, and he collapsed, and it was devastating for his family members to see that.
You know, we have the situation also, as you're aware, with Miriam Ibrahim, and you, Nagma, have become kind of a voice for the Christian persecution issue here. Her husband is an American citizen. She's in jail with her 20-month-old baby. Again, same charge, apostasy, leaving Islam. She said she was never Muslim. She was raised by a single Christian mother. What's your thoughts for, because there's a lot of people concerned about this whole global trend. What's your thoughts on this?
You know, my heart goes out to the dad just because I am in his same shoes. I have a husband who's imprisoned and feeling helpless, feeling that there's a lot of attention, but that hasn't done anything to bring her out. She's there with a 20-month-old. She's pregnant, going through her own stress that could be dangerous to the baby. And as a mom, I can't imagine being in prison with a 20-month-old and having a baby. And feeling helpless is what I've been praying for them, because that's how I've felt. That so you can do so much and there could be so much attention, but when will they really be released?
So, Nagma, obviously this has been devastating news for your family, for all of us that have been working on the case, but also we're not going to lose hope. We're going to continue the efforts. We need to continue to ask people to pray for Pastor Saeed, pray for Miriam Ibrahim, pray for the persecuted church. Folks, you're hearing the persecuted church here on the broadcast. I mean, this isn't just talking about it. This is the real thing, and this is a very, very troubling development. Nagma, first of all, you know, obviously our hearts and thoughts and prayers are with you and your family and the kids. I don't know if you've said anything to the kids yet or how you're going to handle that. That's between, you're as their mother. But when you're talking to family members, do know this. I mean, there are a lot of people around the globe, and you know this, that are praying for you and praying for your family. And if there was something in particular they could pray for right now, what would be that particular need?
Well, today I was thinking it's 2 years, I've really been able to continue because of these prayers, just prayers to continue. And, you know, part of me wants to, you know, I've been caught up before with hopelessness and just not, despair, to be honest, and to just be able to keep my standing and to keep continuing without, I have to be there for the kids. I haven't told them anything, but I had to put a smiling face on this morning and get him ready for school, and I had my mom take him to school, but I can't. I don't have an option of collapsing. I have to continue, and I would ask prayer for that.
Well, we will make sure that is heard. I appreciate you taking time to come on with us, and as you know, we're working on the situation with you literally around the clock, and we will do that. Pray for you and pray for your family. Thank you, Nagma, and keep us posted as these develop.
I will. Thank you.
Very troubling situation, folks. And I mean, you look at this, I look at this case, I look at the Miriam Ibrahim case. The State Department's inadequate responses, Jordan, in Miriam's case, where the State Department was asked about the child who's an American citizen. Listen to number 15. Same questioning going on with the State Department.
Did the embassy in Khartoum ask Mr. Wani to provide DNA evidence that that was his son?
We're happy to check and see if there's more
you
to
You don't
share.
Know whether that's the
happy
case.
Happy to check and see if there's more
so
to
So as
share.
Of this moment, the U.S. government does not know whether that 20-month-old boy in prison in Sudan is an American citizen in prison because he's a Christian.
I think I've addressed your questions, and I'm happy to follow up with you after the briefing.
All right, Jordan, you deal with these people every day. What is this? I mean, we all know it's his son. He's an American citizen. This is not complicated.
This is how the State Department always responds first, is that they can't speak publicly and that we don't know if we share this information. The truth is, that's not accurate. Once these family members, like here Miriam Ibrahim's husband and the father of these children, start speaking out publicly and their American citizen relatives start speaking out publicly, the State Department is allowed to confirm those details. So you've got all these news reports going on about an American citizen husband and his potentially American citizen toddler in prison, and the government won't confirm. This is typical. It takes the media to push them to even get a statement out that makes sense. The initial statement mentions nothing about American citizenship from the White House that came out. It just says, you know, we're deeply disturbed by this. We call on the release. But it doesn't mention the American citizenship. And the focus here that this is yet another example of our State Department missing an opportunity to try and help an American before it's potentially too late.
All right, folks, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We want to know what you have to say about this, 800-684-3110. 27-year-old medical doctor, Christian woman, pregnant, in prison with her 20-month-old son, an American citizen. Her husband's an American, and what's the State Department doing? They can't even confirm anything. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air about this or about Saeed Abedini's developments there. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Now, everybody that's listening to me right now, understand Miriam Ibrahim has been sentenced to death by hanging. 100 lashes, and then she's going to be killed after she delivers her child. They issued a stay so she could deliver the child. The 20-month-old is in prison. He's an American citizen. We want to take and demand direct action out of the United Nations, out of the Sudanese, and out of the White House. And I need your help. They need your help. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. How about joining with 108,000 other Americans? BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Everybody that's listening to us right now can make this call or go to BeHeardProject.com. BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Miriam Ibrahim cannot speak out for herself. We can speak out for her and her son, an American kid in jail in Sudan. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Take action now.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It's a disturbing story that's gaining international attention. A judge in Sudan has sentenced Miriam Ibrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. Born to a Christian mother and a Muslim father who abandoned her, Miriam was raised Christian. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. The Sudanese judge gave her 3 days to recant her faith, to reject her Christian beliefs. She refused. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Time is of the essence. The ACLJ is mobilizing its international resources for Miriam. Add your name to the letter that we'll deliver to the government of Sudan. Be heard for Miriam. Online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
Well, I just went to the BeHeardProject.com website. That's our site for the persecuted church. 109,228 people have signed on to protect and stand with Miriam Ibrahim. She's a 27-year-old medical doctor, Sudanese Christian, who has been sentenced to death. She is pregnant. They're going to let her deliver the child, and then they're going to hang her. That's the plan. Her 20-month-old son, who is an American citizen, is in the jail with her. And Jordan, what's our State Department doing?
So far, they're even refusing to comment on the U.S. citizenship of the husband here, the 20-month-old who is in prison with her, which people suspect again because his father would have met the requirements as a U.S. citizen and spent enough time here, where one of his children, even born abroad, with the other parent being not an American citizen,
right.
that child would have met the standards for U.S. citizenship actually by birth. And the State Department refusing to speak out. You know, we got one statement. We've also heard from the husband. He's tried. You know, he was trying to get visas for this family. Miriam Ibrahim was not put into prison until February. And so the family knew this was coming, and they were trying to get out. They couldn't get out.
Yeah.
And now for the first time yesterday, the husband, this is all because of the pressure. You know, pressure, very important in these situations. For the first time, the husband was able to visit his pregnant wife and 20-month-old in the prison. And he said she was shackled. She is 8 months pregnant and is shackled to the wall, awaiting, again, you know, they're trying to appeal the case there domestically.
Yeah.
But again, a death sentence and, of course, about to give birth.
So her husband, Daniel, said that he tried to apply for papers to travel to the U.S. with his wife and child, but the American embassy in Sudan did not help me. My son is an American citizen living in a difficult situation in prison. Now, I wanted to tell you something, folks. We've got to speak out here. There's no one else speaking out for these people. You are. So I need everybody that's listening to me right now to understand that this woman has a death penalty. It's a death sentence case. Now, we've had that with Youssef Nardakhani, and because of international pressure, he was able to be released. We've got to do the same thing here. 109,000 people have signed up to protect Miriam Ibrahim already on the BeHeardProject.com website. But I need everybody that's listening to me, every single one of you that are listening to me, to go to BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org, either site, you can sign the petition, or right now call 1-877-989-2255. So it's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. But folks, we don't have a minute to lose here. It's a death penalty case. She's 8 months pregnant. A 20-month-old American baby, toddler, is in prison in Sudan. We have to take action. We have no option here. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. You sense the urgency in my voice because, folks, no international pressure, this woman gets hanged. International pressure and God's protection, maybe we can get her out. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. We don't have 1 minute to lose here. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Paul in Idaho online for Paul. Welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Hey, yeah, this is like way troubling. When you think about it, the government's lack of even standing up against this, it's it reminds me of how if you neuter a bull, it loses all its vitality, and I believe that's what's been happening here with.
Well, I understand the drama of your presentation, but let me tell you what I want people to visualize this. We're gonna have our TV cameras in here tomorrow. This is a 20-month-old baby. I mean, it's bad enough that the 27-year-old Christian mother is in jail with a death penalty. A 20-month-old American citizen is in jail, and Jordan, our government does not acknowledge that the kid is an American citizen.
No, that's right. I mean, they will not even acknowledge the father's American citizenship. So, again, you've got a situation here where the State Department is taking a similar tact, refusing to answer questions, even after a statement has been made by the National Security Council, that's within the White House, the State Department refusing to speak up. The U.S. government can always do more. This is one of those situations where they've done the minimum. They've issued a statement. But we have sanctions on Sudan. We've allowed some oil to flow out of Sudan. This is a government, again, it's a very difficult situation. The president of Sudan, Omar Bashir, is wanted by the International Criminal Court for genocide. So you're talking about something, again, there are not many leaders around the world who have that hanging over their head. He does. But also, it's been an economic burden on the country because, they, for the most part, they have been cut out by the world. But since President Obama has come to office, we have opened up embassies. We've opened up, we've really relaxed many of those sanctions. So this is a time where they could speak out. It's not something where our hands are completely tied. Yes, it's another tough country, but that's where these kind of situations are going to happen. They're not going to happen in Western Europe. They're going to happen in places like Sudan or places like Iran.
Well, folks, this is, look, we're on top of the situation. You know, Jordan has an LLM from Georgetown University International Human Rights, and this is what this is. I mean, he's trained, these are the training that, and we've got a team behind him. But, folks, I want to say this without holding back one moment here. We have 108,000 signatures. You know what that represents? Nothing. Okay? That's 108,000 people. It needs to be 1 million people. This woman is facing a death sentence, and I'm going to emphasize this. A 20-month-old American citizen is in the United States. That kid is an American citizen. Is in prison. Some of you got grandkids that are the same age as this kid. He's in prison. He's an American. Cut the oil off. Close down the embassy. Put so many sanctions on them, they have no choice. But we've got to take direct action here. So I'm going to tell you again, go to ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com, and you need to share this with everybody on your social media outlets, whether it's Pinterest, whether it's Facebook, Twitter. Follow this, share it, get it out. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Now, let me say it really clearly here. We've got 109,000 signatures so far, and that's in a day, and that's good. But we need to get this way up into the multiple hundreds of thousands. We've got to go to the UN. Spoke to Gregor, our director in our offices in Strasbourg. He's preparing the UN documents. Jordan's working with our team in Washington there. We're working with, we're going to be bombarding the State Department. We're going to go to the Sudanese embassy and get these names delivered and get people to understand that this, we are not going to allow an American citizen, 20-month-old toddler, to be put in this situation. We're not going to have a Christian woman executed because she's a Christian. So here's what you do. As we go to a break, we're here for another 30 minutes, folks. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you just go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it there, and we're live on SiriusXM and a number of other stations. Those of you on the phone, you stay there. We're going to get to your calls. But, folks, I need everyone that is listening to me right now, everybody, to either go to ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. We're 600 away from 110,000. Make sure we get there. BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Now, folks, you can also go to the Be Heard Project. That's, we've set that project up for the persecuted church. It's a 20-month-old American citizen in a jail with his 27-year-old medical doctor mother, sentenced to death by hanging. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Take action right this minute. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com.
A judge in Sudan has sentenced Miriam Ebrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Be heard for Miriam. Online at ACLJ.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
Nagmeh Abedini in the earlier portion of the broadcast. We got the horrible news that Saeed was removed from the hospital and taken to the Rajashahr prison. A very troubling development there. Our global teams are working on that. We've got the situation with Miriam Ebrahim, a 27-year-old Sudanese Christian woman sentenced to death by hanging after getting 100 lashes because she married a Christian. She's a Christian. She's been a Christian. She was raised by an Orthodox Christian mother. But the Sudanese said, well, no, she converted for Islam because her father was Muslim. She never even knew her father. He abandoned them, I think, at age 4. So here's what you've got. A 20-month-old, their son, is in the jail with her. He is an American citizen. We're fighting back on this at ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com, or you can call 1-877-989-2255, 877-989-2255. During the break, Jordan, you said the way to keep her alive and keep the fight here, just like with Youssef Nardakhani, is to build this global pressure.
Yeah, it's all about the negative media attention that Sudan is having to deal with. That's so key in this specific situation, that Sudan feels the heat. You had yesterday, since all this really started breaking in the last few days, you had the husband was able to visit his wife for the first time since she was taken to prison in February. He was able to see and able to report on the conditions. The conditions were not good. She was shackled to the wall. He said she was really swollen. She's, of course, about to have a child. She's got another child in the prison with her. He talked about how they will refuse to even acknowledge that he is the father of the 20-month-old. And then, of course, he's not going to have, custody of the baby she's pregnant with right now because of the way they're interpreting their version of Islamic law in Sudan. So it's a situation where it's not just her being in prison. It's the livelihood of the two children, one that she's pregnant with, one that's 20 months old, who will not be going to their father, but instead maybe family members who ultimately could be responsible for their mother being executed. So it's a situation that involves not just one, but an entire family and keeping that family together, even those children. And so Sudan is feeling the heat. They're trying to back off. But the truth is, Dad, until they back off completely, and that means her sentence is reversed,
yep,
and of course the lashes as well as the death penalty are reversed until she's out and released. You can't let up one bit because they can come down and kind of calm down and try to play down the situation. But if you look away for a few seconds, they'll be right back moving forward. I mean, ultimately, what would this country like to do? They would like to execute her. You know, they're not going to release her because they feel bad. They would like to execute someone who was a Christian who became a Muslim in their eyes, a Muslim who became a Christian in their eyes. They would like that person to hang. They would like those children to be forcibly raised by Muslims rather than Christians. That's what they would like. They would only release them if they really feel like they have to, if it's hurting their pocketbook too much.
All right, folks, here's what we're going to want to do. We've got direct action being taken here at ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. The phone number, if you want to sign on to that petition, we encourage you to do it, is 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Trudy's calling on line 6. Hi, Trudy. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, I was just about to hang up and call that other number.
Well, we appreciate you doing that in a moment, but go ahead.
Yes, I just want to thank God for you, Sekolo, and all those working with you. I've been following you for years.
Thank you.
I follow with my money as well. But I wanted to know, what can I do as just a regular citizen?
Sure. Well, look, I mean, this is a fellow American citizen, and so is the 20-month-old that's in jail. Trudy, what you could do is, like you said, when you hang up this call, you could call 1-877-989-2255 and add your name to 109,000. I'm not going to be happy, by the way. It's not a question of happy. 100,000, we've got it. This has got to be a massive, huge effort to put the pressure on. We're talking about Sudan here, which when Jordan comes back from the break, worse than Iran, if you can imagine that. So ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. So you can sign the petition one of three ways, ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You got to sign it now, or BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
It's a disturbing story that's gaining international attention. A judge in Sudan has sentenced Maryam Ibrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. Born to a Christian mother and a Muslim father who abandoned her, Maryam was raised Christian. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. The Sudanese judge gave her 3 days to recant her faith, to reject her Christian beliefs. She refused. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Time is of the essence. The ACLJ is mobilizing its international resources for Miriam. Add your name to the letter that we'll deliver to the government of Sudan. Be Heard for Miriam. Online at ACLJ.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Come streaming down your face when you lose something you can't replace. When you love someone.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Salam calling in from New York on line 5. Salam, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. My absolute condolences on what's going on in Sudan. I serve as the deputy spokesperson of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community USA, and we are the largest organized community in America, our largest organized Muslim community in America, and we absolutely condemn what is going on with Miriam. We believe that there is a freedom of conscience within Islam. And what Sudan is doing with Miriam and what they've done in the past as well, it is truly horrific. And we hope, and we call on them to let her go and to release her.
Well, and you bring up Salam, and I know many of the Imani Muslim community have been very outspoken against these acts of persecution and for human rights. And I know Harris Zafar as well, who writes a lot about this. I've shared some of his stories actually about the situation in Sudan. Because even to take this out another step, Salam, while we've got you on the phone, your community faces this kind of persecution as well, this Muslim persecution of other Muslims, that it's not just Christians, but it's anyone who doesn't agree with the exact kind of belief structure that the governments, these authoritarian governments, may be trying to use religion to act under this kind of veil of their religious beliefs.
lack of education coupled with brainwashing elements. So we see a lot of people who are just uneducated and they just follow the leader, and which results in this groupthink, this group mentality into persecuting others.
Well, I think it's, you know, one of these situations. We really appreciate you speaking out. I think it's very important. We've talked about this before, to hear from more Muslim voices condemning this kind of behavior. We actually saw today, Dad, it was interesting, and different from Salam's group, but even CARE, which we've had a lot of words with in the past. The Council on American Islamic Relations has come out calling for Sudan to release Miriam Ibrahim. This kind of pressure, again, there are groups who act out of it in good faith, I think, and I know Salam's group and the Ahmadi Muslim community is doing that, and they speak out for even those who are not in the news. But even groups like CARE, coming forward, speaking out,
helps.
It only happens because of the pressure.
Yeah.
It only happens because people out there are talking about it. People are talking about this story. They're not letting it die away after a day.
Yeah, I want to play two sound bites here. This is actually, again, CNS News reporter talking with Ibrahim Hooper. He's the director of the Council of American Islamic Relations. As Jordan said, the fact that they've come out so strongly here is, excuse me, very, very helpful. I don't agree with CARE on anything, really, but them coming out on this is helpful. Let's take a listen.
Does CARE condemn the prosecution for apostasy and death sentence given to Miriam Ibrahim?
Yes, as we have stated in the past, we don't believe that personal religious beliefs are a matter of state intervention. We just don't think it's appropriate, and we don't think it's a reflection of Islamic beliefs that people who leave the faith should face any state intervention.
Does CARE believe that the Sudanese authorities should immediately release Miriam Yahya Ibrahim Ishaq?
I mean, if that's the only charge they have against her, of course she should be immediately released.
You know, I appreciate him saying it, but Jordan, I just have to say this with a bit of caution.
Yep.
If it's the only charge, they always hedge it. I mean, at least they called for it, so but they hedge it. And that's what concerns me even with those statements.
It's not
they're
the only
hedging
charge
it.
They have against her. Remember, they have a charge of adultery against her as well. So that's not the only charge. Now, they may come back and say that, you know, if those are the only two charges. But this is a situation, again, you appreciate at least they're saying the government shouldn't be involved. But what they are indicating is that these communities could be involved. And at what kind of point, you know, how much kind of power should those communities have to pressure people? This was a situation where it was a family member of Miriam Ibrahim, a Muslim family member who came and complained to the court. And now that's how they've gotten to this situation. So, again, you take their condemnation, you do what you can with it. But, again, you start parsing it up and you realize it's not a full condemnation. It is strong in the sense that they believe that Sudan should release this woman if there's no other charges, they say. But what we know is that when he made that statement, he knew full well that there are other charges.
Well, I'll tell you what we're doing, folks. We're fighting back aggressively. We need to hear from you. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. I keep on emphasizing, an American citizen, a 20-month-old, is in jail with his mother in Sudan. They're gonna hang her if we don't get her released. And that 20-month-old American citizen, Christian young kid, or born to a Christian family, goes to live with who? You guessed it. Within the Islamic world in Sudan. Can you imagine? ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. And if you want to talk to us on air, let me encourage you to do that at 1-800-684-3110. But folks, take action here. It is critical. Very, very important. BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Let's go back to the phones.
Yeah, let's go to Mick in Illinois on line one. Mick, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Mick. Hi, you're on the air.
Looks like Mick may have dropped. Let's go to Cheryl in New York, line two. Cheryl, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and God bless you for what you're doing.
Thanks.
It's incredible, but I thank you for what you're doing. I'm just calling to say that I'm a born-again believer, and I'm truly outraged at what this administration is not doing. And, you know, we have American citizens that are being jailed only for the reason that they're Christian.
Right.
And what is the State Department doing? They're doing absolutely nothing. This administration is like, I have to ask for what, please don't let me get mad, because I pray for them, but this is absolutely incredible. I was in tears this morning. I heard Nami Abedini talking about what they did to her husband.
Yep.
I was literally in tears. And it's like, we need to do something. And I'm just going to say that I have been sharing the petition.
Thank you.
I know on my Facebook page.
Great.
And I keep telling them, don't share it. Sign it and share it. Don't just share the link, because I tell people, I don't want you sharing the link. I need you to sign it and share it. Don't just share it, because that's fine to share it, but you need to sign it.
Well, let me tell you this. We are doing this and encouraging other people to do that. Our Facebook page is my Facebook page at the ACLJ, and the ACLJ's combined with Jordan's. I think we're over 1,500,000, but we need to get this information out in a very significant way. And Jordan, let's talk about the pressure and what the pressure means. By the way, we're taking your calls here, folks. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We want to hear from you. But Jordan, the advocacy here is a lot of it's media advocacy and social media advocacy.
That's right. Continuing to speak out for the persecuted and taking these individual stories, whether it's Saeed Abedini or Miriam Ibrahim, where we're able to get much more information than we usually would about someone facing this kind of persecution because of their unique situation, whether they're an American citizen like Saeed, whether they're married to an American citizen like Miriam Ibrahim. You've got to take what you can in these situations, maximize that so that the world knows what's happening to these people, why it's happening to these people, who it's happening to, and again, who's responsible. That's very important here. And right now, in both these situations, whether we're talking about Iran, whether we're talking about Sudan, there are leaders in those countries who are strong enough to pick up a phone and get this handled immediately. And the question is, how much pressure are they willing to take? And in the situation in Sudan, not very much. And that is because, unlike maybe even a country like Iran, they are not in a situation where they've got a lot to bargain with. They don't have a nuclear program. They are barely surviving, so they need to get those exports out. And the Obama administration's been much better to them than any previous American administration, any American presidential administration. So they have a real interest here in not letting this get out of control. But, again, let me repeat what I said earlier. If they could have their way, if they could have what they want to happen, they'd all like her to hang. They would like her to be executed. They would like those children to be raised by Muslims. I'm talking about the government in Sudan. That's what they believe. So there's only going to be a positive in this situation if they're basically their hand is forced. They're not doing this out of good faith. They're not doing it out of goodwill. They're doing it because they have to keep their economy afloat. I know it sounds crude. It sounds crass. But it is the honest truth. If these governments could do what they wanted, these people would be dead.
Well, I will tell you this. Nagmeh Abedini said this, and I'm going to play it right now. This was a flashback from Nagmeh earlier this year.
One thing I want to make clear is that as Christians, we're to pray, but we're also to take action. As Christians, we forget that a lot. We pray, but it's also important to take action, to sign those petitions, to contact our government officials. And that means a lot to me, that we're not alone and we're not forgotten.
All right, folks, it's time to fight back. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. You can also call us at 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 or BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org. If you want to talk to us on air, it's easy to do it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. When we come back from the break, I want to talk to Jordan a little bit more about this Sudan versus Iran situation. So if you want to talk to us in air, 800-684-3110. Sign that petition for Miriam Ibrahim, 877-989-2255 or BeHeardProject.com. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu.
ucla.edu/law.
It's a disturbing story that's gaining international attention. A judge in Sudan has sentenced Miriam Ibrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. Born to a Christian mother and a Muslim father who abandoned her, Miriam was raised Christian. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. The Sudanese judge gave her 3 days to recant her faith, to reject her Christian beliefs. She refused. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Time is of the essence. The ACLJ is mobilizing its international resources for Miriam. Add your name to the letter that we'll deliver to the government of Sudan. Be heard for Miriam. Online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Early in the broadcast, you heard from Nagmeh Abedini with the troubling news that Saeed was sent back to the hospital. Terrible development there. And then we have the Miriam Ibrahim matter. 27-year-old Christian woman in Sudan. 20-month-old American citizen son in the jail with her. She's been sentenced to death. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go right back to the phones here.
Sure, we'll go to Mick in Illinois, line one, who was calling in earlier. Mick, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Mick.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm just failing to see the difference between radical Islam terrorist groups and Islam governments when they're both killing people because they're Christians.
Well, it's because the government are jihadist-based governments. I mean, I think this is. Let me play something Andrea Tanteros said, then I'll get Jordan to comment on this. Take a listen to this.
No one explains what it is. No one understands why. They don't get the history of Islam. We don't teach it in the schools. We don't understand that radical Islam has been here for hundreds and hundreds of years. They've been murdering people. This isn't a new thing, and it's not going away anytime soon. So simple signs and hashtags and just bring back our girls isn't enough.
No, and I'll tell you something else. When you study the history of this, and we were talking about this on a phone call this morning that we had with our senior staff on the situation with Saeed Abedini, what the Western view of the value of human life, it does not translate into the jihadist world. I mean, it just doesn't. So, Jordan, when you look at the situation, it's not just a cultural gap. It's a whole different worldview.
Yeah, and to try to make this separation, as Mick was talking about, between these governments and then jihadists, I mean, these are leaders who came to power as jihadists, as Islamists. I mean, if you asked Omar Bashir in Sudan, Omar Bashir, he would say, I'm an Islamist. So he, again, a radical Islamist, who they're a top sponsor of terror. That's where Osama bin Laden was. Remember, for so long, was in Sudan. They were harboring al-Qaeda. And, of course, you go to Iran, the Ayatollah, the revolution that happened there was taken by Islamists. They have two different versions of Islam in Sudan, predominantly Sunni, and Iran, Shia. But the situation is the governments are radicalized themselves. So you can't make that separation. They're both top sponsors of terror. Iran is number one. Sudan would be high up, especially with how much sanctuary they give to terrorists. It's basically it was a terrorist haven, a place where you would go to get away, to hide from the U.S. This was kind of before drones and before we were able to go into places like Yemen and or even Pakistan to find someone who was hiding. But again, you got a situation where know the history, know that these governments exist as Islamic revolutionaries, as jihadists.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
Nancy calling in from North Carolina on line 3. Nancy, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, thank you. First of all, when is the petition going to be delivered?
We will deliver it incrementally. In other words, we will start notifying government officials probably as early as today as to where it is, but we will allow it time to build. You know, unfortunately, we're coming into the holiday here, so that's going to make it we're going to have to really work hard to get to where I'd like to be. I'd like to be able to make the official delivery when we're somewhere near 250,000, but we will be letting government officials know incrementally. Jordan, explain how that works.
Sure. We want to let people know exactly how many people are speaking out on this situation. So with Miriam Ibrahim, We'll let members of Congress know. We'll break it down for them to know how many people in their district care, how many people in their state care for senators. And for the U.S. government, you know, of course, we want to maximize this. So we want to spend these next few days generating as many possible names on this petition as possible so that when we go and make the next a release with numbers, we want the government to know exactly how many Americans. So we give, you know, people time to join in. It's very important that we let them know the numbers. That also drives media coverage. It drives continued coverage of the story. So every time you share one of these stories, you share one of our blogs, you share another story even about Miriam Ebrahim, if those get thousands, which they are right now on every single news site and on our website, and you see this unprecedented response, guess what that drives? More coverage. And what does that ultimately lead to? More pressure on our government to do something and Sudan's government to do something.
So that's why we keep up this public profile, Nancy, and we will incrementally release it. And at the same time, at the very same time, we will make sure that the government officials in Sudan know that the American people and people from around the globe, we've got people on Facebook from all over the world, that they know that we're fighting back on this. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. It's very interesting that, of course, our disappointment, not surprising, is the State Department here. But if you're also just joining us, we had a very troubling development this morning with Pastor Saeed Abedini. After spending 2 months in an Iranian hospital, we learned this morning that Pastor Saeed was removed from the hospital violently, I would add, taken back to the Rajashahr prison. The transfer came without any advance notice to the family. Family was there when he was taken. He was beaten as he was taken back. We don't know the reason for the transfer. Jordan, this does raise a complicating factor for Pastor Saeed.
It's changed everything once again. You know, we have to be very honest about this. This situation where he was going into 3 months of being in a hospital, private hospital. So he's under prison guard, but not in a prison. So he's getting much better food, much better basic care, not had a major medical procedure yet, not had surgery yet. And now, which we know is always a potential, the room was stormed. Remember, this happened once before. He was shackled to the bed, this time forcibly taken away, beaten, even passed out onto the floor, unconscious. And so, again, a lot of people saw this, including his family that's in Iran, hospital staff and employees there, and he was taken, and we know he's back at Rajashahr prison. A horrendous development and how it, again, took place. But we need people to continue to speak out. You know, we send out this information. We put it publicly. We do that so that you can let other people know. It's not just for you, because many of you are listening to our broadcast, you're following things. It's so you can take it to people we may not be able to reach. So you bring more people in who now know what is happening to this American citizen who is a pastor imprisoned in Iran, has not been with his family now for 2 years, and seen his wife or his two children. And now he's taken back to prison after spending almost 3 months in a private hospital in Iran. It's a situation that took a turn for the worse.
Yeah, it sure did. You couple that with the situation with Miriam Ebrahim, and her situation is her husband is an American citizen. Her son, who's in jail with her, 20-month-old son in jail with her, is also an American citizen. We had the chance, the United States had the chance to allow those two family members to leave Sudan. No visas approved. Heartbreaking. We're fighting back, though, and we're not going to give up. ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, or BeHeardProject.com. So ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com. And you can also call in and sign on to that petition now at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, listen to the State Department, folks, number 14.
Is Miriam Ebrahim's husband, Daniel Wani, a U.S. citizen? And is that 20-month-old boy in prison by virtue of being his son also a U.S. citizen?
Well, I don't have any more details on this than what the statement the White House put out. Typically, we don't confirm.
I'm going to jump in right there. You know what? Get the information. How about that, White House? Get the information. And that's nonsense that you don't confirm it. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255, or you can go to BeHeardProject.com. Speak out for those who cannot speak for themselves. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. You can visit Be Heard Project.
A judge in Sudan has sentenced Miriam Ibrahim to be tortured and executed. Her only crime? Her Christian faith. But the government of Sudan does not recognize her faith. In their eyes, she's a criminal. Miriam is pregnant, and her husband is an American citizen. After she gives birth, Sudan will punish her with 100 lashes, then kill her. Be Heard for Miriam. Online at aclj.org, or you can call 1-877-989-2255.